Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. A man from Massachusetts has been charged with killing his missing wife, Anna Walsh. WBZ-TV's Louisa Mahler reports from Cohasset.
Brian Walsh is now facing a murder charge.
Mr. Walsh will be transported to the Quincy District Court for arraignment on the charge of murder.
Prosecutors say blood and a broken bloody knife were found in the basement of the couple's Cohasset home. And sources tell our I-team other chilling physical evidence was found when investigators searched a Peabody transfer station. Trash bags with blood, a hatchet, and hacksaw.
Although the rain has stopped in much of California, the state's still dealing with the damage that the torrential rains caused. President Biden will travel to California later this week.
I issued a disaster declaration to support recovery and to rebuild. And I'll be traveling to California on Thursday to assess the damage and see what additional support may be needed.
A failed Republican state legislative candidate is now accused of orchestrating shootings at the homes of local and state lawmakers. More from CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Solomon Pena lost his race for the state house in New Mexico in November, but according to police, in the weeks after, he conspired with four others to fire shots into the homes of four local Democratic officials. One of them, a county commissioner in Albuquerque, who tells CBS News Pena came to her home after the election, urging her to decertify the results.
The Transportation Security Administration says it stopped a record number of guns at airport security checkpoints last year, more than 6,500. CBS's Elise Preston has that.
The number one reason passengers gave for having a gun was, I forgot. According to a new report from the TSA, an alarming 88% of the firearms were loaded, with airports in Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, and Phoenix leading the nation in the number of weapons seized.
A well-known climate activist has been detained by police in Germany.
Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg and others were protesting over a coal mine in western Germany, where an energy company is looking to demolish the remains of what they say is an abandoned town to make way for the mine's expansion. Then police detained them, carrying them away.
We're going to use force to bring you to the identity check.
Mac Piper, CBS News.
A man from Utah who police say shot and killed his wife, her mother, and their five kids before turning the gun on himself in early January had been investigated 2 years ago for child abuse. Newly released records show police and prosecutors decided not to criminally charge 42-year-old Michael Haight. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays. the city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
Ashiro's work is never done. You care for the house, the kids, and our future. We're so grateful for all you do. Now, it's time to care for yourself and save a little more for retirement. A free 3-minute online chat can give you the personalized tips you need to boost your retirement savings now. Visit aceyourretirement.org today.
A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a two for Tuesday. Dom is back. You on the phones at 844-967-2789. E-Bone will barely screen you. You know, if you're not hammered drunk, we'll probably let you on.
Low standards here. Be FCC compliant. We appreciate it.
That would be appreciated. Dom, you've been gone. So I think it's time to do a little, what'd you miss? Well, we got a George Santos update. He's now officially a congressman, Dom. And he got two committee assignments. The Republican leadership, in their infinite wisdom, have given George Santos two committee assignments.
Is that even his real name? I mean, did I see some video of him introducing himself as with a different name? Do we even know if that's his name? Is he even a? Is he a citizen? Should we request his birth certificate?
Well, that's an interesting plot twist, Don, but let me tell you about his committee assignments. He's a big shot now. The House GOP Steering Committee on Tuesday recommended that embattled Rep. George Santos, embattled, is that what we're calling the man, a Republican from New York, sit on the House Small Business Committee and the House Science, Space, and Technology Committee. Well, Dom, I did see on his resume he was an astronaut, so seems quite appropriate. Santos' assignment to the panel has come as multiple members of his own party have called on him to resign over his admitted fabrications of his work history and educations and questions about his campaign finances, misleading claims about Jewish heritage, and reported charges in Brazil related to checkbook fraud, which Santos has denied. And then they add, among other issues.
There's so many, we can't even enumerate them all.
Dominic, the recommendation from the House GOP Steering Committee, a panel of about 30 members of House leadership and elected regional representatives, will have to be approved by the full House Republican Conference. The conference typically approves the steering panel's recommendation. And Rep. Roger Williams, Republican from Texas, is the newly assigned chairman of the Small Business Committee, which has jurisdiction over the Small Business Administration and implemented the Paycheck Protection Program, you know, the often defrauded PPP program, Dom. Here is what Williams said. I can't condone what he said, what he's done. I don't think anybody does, but that's not my role. He was elected. He represents a million people. Rep. Frank Lucas, also a Republican from Oklahoma, is the chair of the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology, which has jurisdiction over his other committee assignment. The Hill has reached out to the committee for comment. And before his resume fabrications were revealed, Santos told NY1 in November that he hoped to sit on the House Financial Services Committee based on my 14-year background in capital markets.
What? Wasn't he accused of running a Ponzi scheme with one of those companies?
He's got a 14-year history in the capital markets, Dom.
Is that what we're calling it?
And he also wanted to serve on the House Foreign Affairs Committee based on my, I guess, multicultural background as a human being. I think those would be natural fits, and those are also my passions. You know, he has strong passions, Dom. Speaker Kevin McCarthy has declined to call on Santos to resign and said the freshman lawmaker would sit on committees. I try to stick by the Constitution. Is that what you're doing, Kevin?
Yes, that's exactly. He loves the Constitution. Weren't they going to read it word for word on the very first day? And instead they, tried to gut the IRS?
Well, actually, on the very first day, second day, third day, fourth third day, they were still trying to elect a speaker, as near as I remember.
All right, my bad.
I try to stick by the Constitution. The voters elected him to serve. If there is a concern, is there a concern? And he has to go through the ethics. Let him move through that, McCarthy told reporters last week, referring to the House Ethics Committee. He's going to have to build the trust here. He's going to have to have the opportunity to try to do that. Santos is under investigation in New York, but has not been charged with any crime in the U.S. Lawmakers in the past have continued to serve in Congress and on committee until they were found guilty of a crime. See Matt Gaetz.
Curtis Santos, according to the Washington Post, and we got to do Santos updates every day. I mean, this is insane that this is actually happening. This is not the people who elected George Santos didn't get George Santos. They got this guy who pretended to be something else. And so they didn't get what they wanted. And certainly those Republicans who voted for him should be upset. And they should be upset with the GOP in Washington, with McCarthy, who is doing this specifically and only because he needs Santos's vote. But there's more, Crudy. Santos has deeper ties than previously known to a businessman who cultivated close links with a one-time Trump confidant and who is the cousin of a sanctioned Russian oligarch, according to video footage and court documents. Andrew Intreder and his wife each gave the maximum $5,800 to Santos's main campaign committee and tens of thousands more since 2020 to committees linked to him, according to filings with the FEC. His cousin, Intruder's cousin, the donor's cousin, is Russian billionaire Viktor Vesselberg. Remember that guy's name? He's been sanctioned by the U.S. government for his role in the Russian energy industry. The relationship between Santos and Intruder goes beyond campaign contributions, according to a statement made privately by Santos in 2020 and a court filing the following year in a lawsuit brought by the SEC against a Florida-based investment firm, Harbor City Capital, where Santos worked for more than a year. Taken together, Crudy, the evidence suggests Santos may have had a business relationship with Intruder as Santos was first entering politics in 2020. It also shows, according to the SEC filing, that Intruder put hundreds of thousands of dollars into Santos's one-time employer, Harbor City, which was accused by regulators of running a Ponzi scheme.
You say tomato, I call it a Ponzi scheme.
So I want to be on the business committee, because I work for Harbor City Capital. I took hundreds of thousands of dollars from, the cousin of a Russian billionaire, Viktor Vesterberg. Of course, it makes total sense. And this guy's lied about everything else. And you're still going to see them on committees? I mean, this is how desperate and craven the mega Republicans have become.
Dominic, there's more. I've got a little bit of, I guess it's not sound. I've got a quote from George Santos's former roommate. It's just flabbergasting. ex-roommate recalls of lawmakers' delusions of grandeur. A lot of ways, he's a young Donald Trump. Pardon me.
Without the $500 million in inheritance?
Without the rich daddy.
Yeah.
But apparently he had somebody's checkbook in Brazil, so he's well on his way.
Yeah, right.
George Santos's ex-roommate, Gregory Maury Parker, told Don Lemon during an interview that he remembers Santos having delusions of grandeur during their time living together. You know, I've had some bad roommates, some with delusions of grandeur.
I don't know any of them, Crude. You had the best roommates ever.
Santos, the newly elected New York congressman who has been urged to resign by several officials, has already lied about his education, professional resumes, his grandparents surviving the Holocaust, having Jewish heritage, and again, Dom, and it says, and more. There's always an and more with this guy.
But wait, there's more.
During the interview, Maury Parker said he was surprised to hear the name George Santos because he only knew his roommate by the name Anthony DeVolder.
You know, you see Santos when he was in the first several days that we're talking about when they're doing the votes for speaker. They called his name out and he didn't respond. You know why? Because he's not used to being called George Santos.
I don't understand. Maury Parker told Lemon, did he go one by one to everybody in his district and just literally pull the wool over their eyes? It's just flabbergasting. Lemon later asked the former roommate about Santos's allegedly stealing his Burberry scarf while they were living together and then wearing it during a recent rally. That's ballsy. Although Maury Parker believes Santos did steal the scarf, he assured Lemon that it actually the least of his concerns. He's more occupied with finding out where the finances for Santos' campaign are coming from. Well, I'm glad someone's got their eye on the prize, Don Lemon. Also, while the two lived together, Maury Parker knew Santos's mother was a housekeeper in Manhattan, but the way he would go out and spend money just didn't seem feasible. He said Santos would go to bars with rolls of $100 bills, and 3 days later, he would have no money. Well, when you go in a bar with rolls of $100 bills, they go away quick, don't they, Dan?
Yeah, it's amazing how money spends like that.
A little bit more of the quote from the former roommate. You know, always be careful of the former roommate. They might tell the truth on you one day, Dom.
You're welcome.
He is one of the highest elected officials in the country. He is responsible for making the laws. Yes, I do miss my stone check Burberry scarf. Apparently, this guy is still a little fixated on the scarf, Dom. But at the same time, it's why I feel like they're not focusing enough on the issues at hand. Where did all this money come from to finance the campaign? The whole thing is quite bewildering to me. The roommate. Not a handsome lad. But, you know, that's a long time ago. I was better looking in college, too.
Come on,
and you,
man,
certainly have not aged well. So,
are you kidding me? Eternally young, baby, young at heart. Maybe a few gray hairs, a couple extra pounds, but other than that, man, just like I was when I was 20.
Still a juvenile delinquent at heart. At least you've never been accused of being George Santos,
if that's your real name.
Did you steal my checked Burberry scarf?
No, but I got some sunglasses I could sell you, Crudy.
Come back with us. Are they Ray-Bans?
The best kind.
844-967-2789. More Devil's Advocates. It's a Tuesday.
Oh, Thor, mighty god of thunder.
Who is this kid?
The Devil's Advocates.
Jake from Milwaukee, you get the last word this hour.
Okay, well, Trump is totally innocent. But it's obvious that George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, BLM, with Antifa, and then Hillary's emails, with Hunter Biden's laptop, gas, high, Afghanistan, cut and run. I rest my case, Truth.
What about Benghazi, Jake? You forgot Benghazi.
I forgot Benghazi. I'm sorry. And Benghazi, I rest my case.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 31 overnight under cloudy skies. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 36. Overcast tomorrow night. A mixture of precipitation likely. Lows dip down to about 32. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, don't be ugly. Did you hear Marjorie Taylor Greene, your three-toed girl, was having a fight with Lauren Boebert? A noisy quarrel in the House restroom. Let's do a little Mean Girls, Dom.
Oh, do we have to? Do we have to? Is this necessary? Don't be ugly.
Marjorie Taylor Greene's on a big committee now. You know, now that the Dems aren't in charge anymore, she's been restored to her place of honor. Dominic, tensions between Reps Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene boiled over into a confrontation in the women's restroom at the U.S. Capitol. The squabble took place January 3rd on the first day of the new Congress in the House Speaker's lobby. Ladies' room, because they're ladies, Dom. And sources told the Daily Beast the lawmakers feuded over their perceived loyalty to Republican leader Kevin McCarthy as he tried to secure enough votes to become House Speaker. Green questioned Boebert's loyalty to McCarthy, and after a few words were exchanged, Boebert stormed out, said one source familiar with the argument. You were okay taking millions of dollars from McCarthy, but you refused to vote for him for Speaker, Lauren? Green said, according to a source familiar with the confrontation. The first source says Green came out of the bathroom stall and confronted Boebert, who had been unaware the Georgia Republican was in the restroom doing her business, Dom, for taking campaign money from McCarthy and then turning against him and the speaker voting. Now, I do enjoy the chaos and the fact the Republican Congress is in disarray, Dom, but that is pretty damn disloyal. If you're going to take a guy's campaign cash and then it's time to, you know, support the guy for speaker and you refuse to do so, that's disloyal, Dom. I don't like that.
Maybe you should have paid her a little more.
That's when Lauren said, don't be ugly, the first source said, adding that Boebert then ran out like a little schoolgirl. Boebert declined to comment on the matter, saying only, see you later, bye. And Green did not.
I mean, this is just... I got to honestly, though, I mean, if there was a physical fight, I'd have to go with Marjorie Taylor Greene being the CrossFitter and whatnot. She's pretty stacked in that regard. But Boebert's probably packing a pistol. So, you know, I'm not clear who would win that fight.
Rep Debbie Dingell, Democrat from Michigan, allegedly witnessed the nearest screaming match, according to sources. But she declined three separate times to describe what she saw. In any way, shape, or form.
I want nothing to do with it.
That's between me and my therapist at this point. What happens in the ladies' room stays in the ladies' room, the Michigan Democrat said. Well, that's quite, you know, nice of her to keep their bathroom secrets for them, Dom. She's a better man than
the Republicans. They continue to... I don't know. I guess I shouldn't be shocked, but these crass Republicans, man. I mean, this what else can we say? We have election deniers and white nationalists and insurrectionists, frauds. I mean, straight up frauds. George Santos, that's not your real name kind of fraud, right? And now what? Potentially taking Russian money, but don't say Russia. But not only that, man, I got to throw this one out there. Then we promise we'll get to the phones. Be patient. 844-967-2789. It goes beyond just the asinine nature of their bathroom confrontations. And certainly we still have yet to really come to terms with who orchestrated the coup and who was involved and have those people brought to justice, not just the foot soldiers that did the damage. But now we have this what? A failed New Mexico State House candidate visited the homes of local Democratic leaders to vehemently dispute his election loss weeks before he allegedly orchestrated a series of shootings at the residence, elected officials said.
Better candidates, NBC News. Republicans, better candidates, better ideas, Tom.
Republican Solomon Pena is accused of conspiring with and paying four men to carry out four shootings in the Albuquerque area homes of two county commissioners and two state legislators, Albuquerque police said. No one was hurt. Police announced his arrest on Monday evening. Pena came to my house right after the November election. He was sort of erratic in the points he was trying to make about the election and about how many doors he knocked on and how the number of votes didn't match. Bernalillo County Commissioner Adrian Barboa said in an interview with NBC News. She said she called the police after the incident. He was at my door and he was aggressive. He was an election denier, she said. She had eight shots fired at her home on December 4th, the first of a series of shootings that targeted local and state Democrats. A former county commissioner, Debbie O'Malley, shared a similar experience with Pena, an avowed supporter of Donald Trump, an election denier, around the same time after he first visited her former home before tracking her down at her current address. This guy came to my home. I was very concerned about it, and it was very unsettling. He was angry about losing the election. He felt the election was unfair and untrue. While he did not threaten her during the November encounter, she did call authorities and deputies patrol her house for a few days. But weeks later, on December 11th, her home was struck with 12 bullets while she and her husband slept, police have said. He could have killed us, O'Malley said. Police found two handguns and a Nissan Maxima owned by, let's just say it, mega Republican Pena during a January 3rd traffic stop. One of the guns appeared to have fired shots outside the home of State Senator Linda Lopez roughly 40 minutes before and 40 miles away. Shell casings found in the Maxima matched those found outside the home of a new State House Speaker Javier Martinez on December 8th, police said. Police said Pena may have been motivated by anger over his November loss. Police spokesperson Gilbert Gallegos said at a news conference early Monday evening, Pena claimed his defeat was a result of election fraud. He lost his state challenge to incumbent Democrat 74% to 26%. He claimed it was rigged. It was rigged. So this guy shows up, and there's more to this. You can see it at NBC News. We posted some of this on our Facebook page, The Devil's Advocates Radio. But this is just a continuation of the trend line, right? The guy's actually shooting at Democrats because he lost an election.
Well, of course.
These are the people the Republican Party, the MAGA, have embraced, are turning into. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. We'll take more of your calls. 844-967-2789. I am appalled. You should be too. Come back. We'll be right back.
Lady, you're scaring us.
Does this mean we're not friends anymore?
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Police now say Brian Walsh of Massachusetts killed his wife, who's been missing since January 1st. Norfolk District Attorney Michael Morrissey.
Mr. Walsh will be transported to the Quincy District Court for arraignment the charge of murder.
CBS's Nichelle Medina says California is cleaning up after weeks of pummeling storms.
Weeks of heavy rain has left the ground throughout California oversaturated, causing roads to buckle and sinkholes to open up.
Police in Albuquerque say they've arrested failed legislative candidate Solomon Pena and charged him with arranging drive-by shootings targeting the homes of four lawmakers. CBS's Skyler Henry.
He ran as a Republican for a New Mexico State House seat in November. Police say after he lost the election, he hired four people to commit the shootings at the homes of Democratic officials. A police report ties the shootings to Pena's vehicle.
Pena lost his race for a seat in the State House by 47 points. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels, said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday Happier Happy Hour. Damn, it rolls on. Some sad news, though, for Kyle Rittenhouse. You know, he's been trying to hold an activity, Dom. Sort of a fundraiser, get-together, social confab. And people keep canceling on the guy.
I wonder why.
Well, one must speculate, but here is the newest bad news for Kyle. Right-wing activist Kyle Rittenhouse promoted his planned attendance at an event at the Venetian Resort in Vegas. Venetian, that's quite nice. But that Wednesday night appearance has been nixed. You guys aren't going to want to miss out on this one, Rittenhouse tweeted Sunday evening. Rittenhouse, excited, Sin City's announcement came shortly after a Texas brewery pulled the plug on the 20-year-old gunman who famously killed two unarmed men in the 2020 Black Lives Matter protest in southern Wisconsin. A first-come, first-serve open bar was promised on the gun rights flyer. Rittenhouse posted again Monday with further details. But a spokesperson for the Grand Canal Shops PR team at the Venetian told the New York Daily News on Tuesday, "Our tenant informed us that they have canceled the event, and we do not speak on behalf of our tenants." The Venetian's Twitter feed quickly filled with requests to cancel Rittenhouse visit after it was announced. "If you host Rittenhouse, I will never step foot in your hotel again," warned one of their several would-be customers. Now, that's always, you know, I'd have to cross-reference. Have you ever been to the Venetian before? Right. I'm never going to that hotel I've never been to before. I've been to the Venetian. That might be a valid threat. Rittenhouse was acquitted in November 2021 trial when jurors ruled he had acted in self-defense. Ah, that was a troubling ruling. He was booked to speak
troubling judge
at the Southern Star Brewing Company on January 26, but the venue canceled that engagement last week, claiming, "While the brewery is apolitical, it could not in good faith host the event." The brewery thanked the public for supporting its decision Sunday, explaining, "We just want to make beer for all." A little bit more, Las Vegas became the site of the nation's largest mass shooting by an individual in 2017 when a gunman fatally shot 59 victims from his 32nd floor hotel room for unclear reasons. More than 500 people were injured. Well, Rittenhouse only killed two in self-defense, according to, you know, the jury, Dom. But can't throw a party. Can't get together with friends. That's sad. It's like he's been judged despite his vindication in the courts.
Yeah, it's weird how when people try to make money off of their murder, that other folks may not want them around. But let's talk about this. These are the poster children of MAGA. Kyle Rittenhouse, right? George Santos, your new rising star.
You know, I mean, you forgot one.
Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene now back on committees because the Republicans now running the House. This is the face of MAGA, and this is who they present to us as their leaders, and it is crazy.
Well, Dominic, let's not forget another namesake of conservative politics, CPAC's Matt Schlapp. Now, we've been avoiding talking about Matt Schlapp. He has been recently accused of sexually assaulting a Herschel Walker staffer. And we didn't go there. You know, sometimes even we don't go there. But now there's a lawsuit. And now we feel we must. And there's also a denial of sorts from Matt Schlapp, because he's in unbearable pain over the allegations, Tom.
Oh, I bet he is.
CPAC, did we mention the conservative movement, the Republican Party? It's in disarray! CPAC chairman Matt Schlapp on Tuesday finally responded to sexual assault allegations leveled against him by a former staffer for Herschel Walker's failed Senate bid. A statement written by Schlapp's attorney, Charlie Spies. You know, it's always authentic when you have the attorney draft your letter. You know, it's coming from the heart and from legal counsel.
Yes.
A statement written by Schlapp's attorney and posted on Schlapp's Twitter account claims the CPAC chief and his family are, and here's a quote, suffering unbearable pain and stress due to the false allegation from an anonymous individual. The statement added that no family should ever have to go through this, and the Schlapps and their legal team are assessing counter lawsuit options. Do you really want to go there? Although the Walker staffer in question so far has remained anonymous, they have been able to back their claims with help of contemporaneous text messages, which have also been corroborated by other members of Walker's campaign staff. The staffer not only informed the campaign of the alleged incident shortly after it happened, but also recorded videos in its aftermath in which he described Schlapp's actions. Now I'm going to read aloud here. Certainly not my goal to titillate, but to describe the alleged assault and the allegations leveled against Matt Schlapp. Here's what he is accused of. Matt Schlapp of the CPAC grabbed my junk and pummeled it at length. And I'm sitting there thinking, what the hell is going on? That person is literally doing this to me, the staffer said. From the bar to the Hilton Garden Inn, he had his hands on me. And I feel so effing dirty. I feel effing dirty. So that was the allegation. And Schlapp, you know, very, very burdened by these allegations against him, Dom. So the lawsuit takes it to a different level. Because when you talk about anonymous allegations, I can say anything about anyone, you know, behind a keyboard or maybe in an anonymous video. But when you go file in the courts, Dom, that really raises it to a different level.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, most court officers and every lawyer that goes before court is a officer of that court. Most court officers will not file lawsuits without merit. Certainly, they would not allege sexual assault against a guy like Matt Schlapp, who's got lots of financial friends, let's say. And CPAC's a very powerful organization. Nobody goes out there and starts this just because they want
right.
The headache, the burden.
Yeah, presumably, I mean, this is a staffer from the Herschel Walker campaign. Presumably, this is a conservative, right? And not only that, we have apparently phone calls and texts and records of communications between the staffer and Schlapp after the fact. So there's a lot of other evidence that has been submitted to this case. A little bit from the New York Times. The lawsuit also accuses Mr. Schlapp and his wife, Mercedes Schlapp, who served as Trump's White House Director of Strategic Communications, of defamation and conspiracy, claiming that they coordinated a campaign to discredit the Walker aide and his allegations. Timothy Hyland, the lawyer for the accuser, said in a statement that the lawsuit, which asked for at least $9.4 million in damages, has been filed in part because Mr. Schlapp had not apologized for his despicable actions. Quote, because Mr. Schlapp has refused to own up to his misbehavior, this suit aims to make Mr. Schlapp and those who lie for him accountable for their actions and statements. In his statement on Tuesday, Mr. Spies, who is also representing Ms. Schlapp, accused the Walker Reed of working in concert with the Daily Beast to attack and harm the Schlapp family. Well, there you go. Try to drag the Daily Beast into this. Get sued again, perhaps. The lawsuit accuses Schlapp of defamation by pointing to Mr. Spies' initial statement that described the accusations as false personal attacks. The lawsuit argues that Ms. Schlapp defamed the Walker staff member by telling neighbors that he had a troubled individual who'd been fired from previous jobs and lying and making false statements on his resume. The message was shared on group text with neighbors, the plaintiff said. The lawsuit says that the plaintiff had not been fired from a job or for lying or lying about his resume. According to the lawsuit, the plaintiff was assigned to drive Mr. Schlapp to a Walker campaign event on October 19th. More details in there. You know, he's his driver. He's a staffer. And, you know, this guy, Schlapp, sexually assaulted him. Pardon me. And we actually pulled some of the sound because the Walker staffer, apparently a couple hours after this happened, you know, probably wee hours of the morning, recorded himself in real time talking about this, and Crudy read some of it. But I want to be clear, it's one thing to hear, you know, Crudy read it or read it in the newspaper, but if you find this audio from this guy, it's traumatizing, man. The guy was sexually assaulted by according to him, by Schlapp, this you know, super conservative CPAC guy, you know, all these family values types, and then what, then further slandered by his wife, who, of course, now, who I did not know, was the strategic communications director in the Trump campaign. This is mega. Added to the list of Santos and this Pena guy and the rest of the insurrectionist bastards that are out there and still have waiting for justice for those who actually conspired and organized this entire attack on our Capitol. We still, to this day, are dealing with the reverberations of that. Mega man, they're doing everything they can to just disrupt this country. That's what it's all about. That's all it's about. They are disruptors. And of course, we're going to have the debt ceiling fight. They're going to try to shut down the government. This is what they want. But I tell you what, I don't know that would actually come to pass. I think there's too many reasonable people. There's too much money the Republicans have invested that they don't want to see their own 401ks and their investments and their donors go broke. So we'll see how much of this is actually grandstanding versus how much of this is going to be a big problem for this country. But MAGA is the real deal here, man. You got people shooting. I mean, of course, why would we expect anything less? Anything less when we witnessed on January 6th? That has not been fully adjudicated. That has not been entirely addressed. Justice has yet to be served. 2 years later, and we're going on for, what, another couple of years? And in the meantime, we have MAGA in control of Congress, or at least on the House side.
You know, Matt and Mercedes Schlapp were considered the Trump it couple. They married while working in the Trump administration, my understanding. And Matt Schlapp's wife engaged in a conspiracy to undermine the sexual assault allegation against him, according to this new lawsuit. Damn, a little bit of the coverage here, because she also plays a part. A longtime Republican lobbyist and American Conservative Union director, Matt Schlapp, engaged in defamation to try and bury a sexual assault allegation against him, and his wife, Mercedes Schlapp, engaged in a conspiracy to help do so, according to a new defamation suit reported on Tuesday by the New York Times. The original allegation, first reported 2 weeks ago, is that Schlapp aggressively and non-consensually grabbed the crotch of a male staffer for Herschel Walker's Georgia Senate campaign, who had been tasked with acting as Schlapp's driver, and that the campaign took the staffer, who has filed anonymously to avoid retaliation, off assignment when he disclosed the assault. Contemporary videos and text messages logged his allegations in real time. Here's a quote, Dom. The lawsuit, filed in the Virginia Circuit Court in Alexandria, accuses Mr. Schlapp of aggressively fondling the man's genital area in a sustained fashion while the two were alone in the car, reported Michael C. Bender. The staff member filed the suit anonymously, citing privacy concerns and fear of retaliation, giving Mr. Schlapp's influential position as the chairman of the American Conservative Union, which hosts the CPAC. Schlapp has vehemently denied the allegations, and the ACU board of directors has signaled they plan to stand behind their man, Dom. Charlie Spies, an attorney representing Schlapp, said in a statement that his client going through unbearable pain over the allegation. The lawsuit also accuses Mr. Schlapp and his wife Mercedes, who served as the Trump White House Director of Strategic Communications, of defamation and conspiracy, claiming that if a coordinated campaign to discredit the Walker aide and his allegations, the lawsuit accuses Mr. Schlapp of defamation by pointing to Mr. Spies' initial statement that described the accusations as false personal attacks. The lawsuit argues that Ms. Schlapp defamed the Walker staff member by telling neighbors that he was a troubled individual who had been fired from previous jobs. I think you noted that as well. But she is not above reproach, certainly, on this, Dom. The it couple of the Trump administration. He's been accused of sexually assaulting a male staffer, and she's been accused of conspiring to cover it up. Seems about right, Dom. The Republican Party's in disarray! Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Never disarray. Always super cool when you call us at 844-967-2789.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 31 overnight. Under cloudy skies, winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 36. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. A mixture of precipitation likely. Lows around 31. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin Uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Going to the phones in just a moment, 844-967-2789. Crudy, a little bit from the original reporting from the Daily Beast. I want to get this out there, then we'll take the calls. This staffer from the Herschel Walker campaign, who was unfortunately tapped to drive Matt Schlapp, the head of CPAC, around and was molested by him, sexually assaulted by him, had this to say from the dailybeast.com. From the bar to the Hilton Garden Inn, he has his hands on me. I feel so effing dirty. I'm supposed to pick this MF-er up in the morning and just pretend like nothing happened? This is what I'm dealing with. This is what I got to do. The staffer's communication with the campaign the next day, along with further exchanges with Schlapp, were documented in call logs and text messages, which the staffer shared with the Daily Beast. At 7:26 a.m., Schlapp sent a text saying, "I'm in the lobby." 1 minute later, the staffer called his supervisor, followed by a call with a senior campaign official. The staffer said the senior official was immediately horrified and pulled him off the driving duty, instructing him to tell Schlapp in writing that he'd made him uncomfortable. Right after that call, the staffer sent Schlapp a text. Quote, "I did want to say I was uncomfortable with what happened last night. The campaign does have a driver who is available to get you to Macon and back to the airport," he texted, providing the name and phone number of the driver. "Please give me a call," Schlapp replied, followed by thanks. Schlapp then called him 3 times over the next 20 minutes, according to phone records reviewed by the Daily Beast. When the staffer did not answer or return the calls, Schlapp sent another text asking him to look into your heart and call back. Here's the quote. "If you could see it in your heart to call me at the end of the day, I would appreciate it," Schlapp texted at 12:12 p.m. "If not, I wish you luck on the campaign and hope you keep up the good work." So some interesting circumstantial evidence there, perhaps. I mean, come on, you're texting back and forth, finding your heart to call me back. Why would you have to find it in your heart? I mean, that sounds like guilty words to me. You call the guy, what, 3 times in 20 minutes plus a couple of texts? That's kind of stalky, kind of, paranoid activity. Like maybe you're guilty of something. Schlapp.
Wasn't that Nady song? Listen to your heart.
Heart.
844-967-2789. We listen to our callers when they join us. Robert from West Allis, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys. I think Dom's characterization of them as disruptors is a little kind. A little bit of charity there.
Well, he can't say what he really wants to say because we're on the radio right now, Robert.
But I mean, if you look at their behavior, right, whether it's holding the government hostage over the debt ceiling or not showing up to work for months or, during January 6th, Lauren Boebert, sending out on social media, 1776, she's all proud of their actions, or this Pena guy, all of these things are consistent. If you look up the definition in the dictionary, using violence to your ends and some of this other stuff, they're all acts of terrorism. And sometimes I just think we give these guys a pass. They're much worse than we cover them in the media, whether we're commenting them on a radio station or mainstream media. They always present them as they're reasonable people. So.
Well, Robert, I want to correct one point. I believe it's a modest misstatement, but it was actually Marjorie Taylor Greene that had tweeted out the 1776 comment. And I recall that because it was her attorney, James Bopp, when they tried to keep her off the ballot, right? Because she was an insurrectionist, and they tried to use the 14th Amendment, and James Bopp, who was prominent in some of the Wisconsin electoral malfeasance, just say, right, he was, what, the attorney to the special prosecutor, Michael Gableman, and even he disagreed with Gableman about whether or not it was, you know, sincere to strongly consider decertifying the 2020 election here in the state of Wisconsin. But I think it was Dom's three-toe girl, MTG, that tweeted out the 1776.
I think you're right, Curdy. Boebert tweeted during the insurrection that the speaker had been removed from the chambers. So at least giving a little bit of heads up to her followers, her fellow insurrectionists. What were the Proud Boys or the 3% of, what were they guilty of, Curdy?
Seditious conspiracy.
There you go. Let's just call it what it was: seditious conspiracy. And for only the foot soldiers to be convicted of this so far is a little frustrating. If this were you and me, Crudy, it'd be on us already. So I'm hopeful. Garland's, or at least I guess Jack Smith now is winding his way through all of this, based on the frantic messages coming out of Donald Trump. I think the heat's getting turned up a little bit.
Dominic, I hate to bring up the office of Alvin Bragg because you've put far too much faith in the man, but I find it notable that Michael Cohen, the former Trump fixer, went and gave testimony at the Manhattan DA's office today. Let me read a little of the coverage from CNN. Michael Cohen, the former personal attorney to Donald Trump, met Tuesday with the Manhattan District Attorney's office, the clearest sign that prosecutors are zeroing in on the Trump organization's involvement in hush money payments made to adult film star Stormy Daniels. Did I try to lay that at Ron Johnson's feet back in like 2017? And he gave me the Sergeant Schultz, I know nothing, I see nothing.
He sure did.
As he arrived at the building, Cohen said he was complying with the request to meet with prosecutors. Called, asked to come in. That's what we're doing, he said. About 90 minutes later, Cohen left with his attorney, Lanny Davis, and said the meeting went very well. He added that prosecutors asked him not to disclose the substance of what was discussed, but Cohen said, it appears I'd probably be meeting with them again. Davis said he believed prosecutors were serious about the investigations. Cohen previously met with Manhattan prosecutors 13 times over the course of their sweeping investigation into the Trump org. Their meeting on Tuesday is the first in more than a year, and the focus of the DA's investigation has returned, what, 5, 6, 7 years later, Tom, to the $130,000 hush money payment made to Stormy, to stop her from going public with an affair. No, I thought he paid her because they didn't have sex. Paid to keep her from going public about an affair with Trump just before the 2016 election. People familiar with the matter said Trump has denied the affair. The district attorney's office has also reached out to Keith Davidson, who represented Daniels in the hush money deal. In recent weeks, he has not been scheduled for an interview. A person familiar with the matter said Cohen was a key player, though, in the hush money scandal. He facilitated the payments and was reimbursed by the Trump org for advancing money to Daniels. Cohen, Michael, pled guilty to 9 federal charges, including campaign finance violation. He's already done 3 years in prison. For what? Extending money on behalf of Donald Trump. If you're guilty for giving Stormy the money and you've been to prison for 3 years, isn't the guy that instructed you to give the money to Stormy and also sign the check, isn't he also probably guilty of something?
Yes! Yes! Come on, Alvin Bragg! Say it, Crudy!
Come on, Alvin Bragg! Come on, Badgers! The Badgers got Tyler Wahl back tonight. They tip off at about 7:30. Penn State coming to town. You're going to want to listen on Civic Media. WFHR. Just go there. Thanks for listening. Devil's Advocates. We'll do it.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You recall the Capitol insurrection? A post-ABC news poll showed 54% said Trump should be criminally charged for inciting the riot. That's like a litany of criminal allegations against the former president. You can say it's all partisanship and a witch hunt, but there wasn't one credible accusation against Obama during his entire eight-year term. So how Republicans just ignore all the evidence? I mean, he was perpetrating a coup on multiple levels.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.